We're right in the middle of a suicidal discussion over here. So that's a little bit complicated. Basically, we were learning that Hashem is in control of everything. So one could, and there's nothing you could do, and everything is big zero, nothing to worry about. What you do is not going to make a difference, and so forth. It does point out, though, that don't do bad things, don't do negative things, like one hurting himself or putting himself in sakona. And he goes into explaining what that is. And he says, we're not allowed to test Hashem. It says, if a person tests Hashem, he puts himself, throws himself into the ocean or into a fire, and puts his self into sakona. Dora says, no, we're not allowed to do this. He says, and he's not going to get away with it for one of two reasons. So one of two things can happen. So we're on our page 127. Oishiyomus, person puts himself into danger, he may die. That's possible. V'yehu ha-memes es atzmo. He's his own murderer. He killed himself. He put himself into a fire. He put himself into a, threw himself into the ocean. V'nitbal zeki le-hemes zulos v'ne'odom. And he is taken to task for this, for killing himself, as if he kills any other person. It's loisirtzach. He's not allowed to do it. Va'af al pi shemoysoy al derech ha'u b'gzeirasoy v'kimi v'shusoy. Yeah. Even though the actual implementation of the death, in other words, the fact that he was successful in his suicide, in jumping off the bridge or whatever he did, the fact that even though it's b'gzeiras kelelyon, if Hashem wasn't gezer, it wouldn't happen. And it was b'shusoy, with his agreement, with his permission. But this is included in loisirtzach. So it's, the pshat is like this: even though in reality you couldn't, a person can't kill himself unless he's supposed to be killed. Person has no, you know, we keep quoting Reb Chaim Brisk all the time. Every bullet has an address. Every knife has an address. Everything has an address. Everything is controlled. So if he wasn't supposed to be, it wouldn't happen. But the fact that he put himself in that matzav and it happened, he's a murderer. He murdered. So, I mean, it's the truth is, it's the same thing with someone else. If a person murders someone else, we know if every bullet has an address, then that person was supposed to die. The bullet was supposed to hit him. If the bullet was supposed to hit him, what do you want for my life? Hey, you pulled the trigger. So you're considered a murderer, even though the murder had to happen. Much as we're learning now about Paroi. Paroi was punished because even though the Bnei Yisrael had to be in Mitzrayim and they had to suffer, the Shibut, everything is true, except for one thing. You didn't have to choose to be the agent. Here, you choose to be the agent to your own suicide or to murder someone else. It's all the same thing. Person is held responsible for his action, for the action of killing, for the pulling of the trigger, for the jumping off the bridge, even though the result is really something that was b'gzeiras kelelyon. So that's also further, it's a further elaboration on this idea that no matter what we do, everything is determined for Hashem, and we can be held responsible if we do something bad. We can be held credited if we do something good. But the reality of the actual action or happening, that's all b'gzeiras kelelyon. Let's go. He says, oh, there's another passage. So this, he goes into something else now on page 128. And the closer that the murderer, the one who's killing, is close. The closer that the one who is murdered is to the murderer, he's more worthy of punishment. If it does it to someone closer, the closer the person, the closer the relative, the more the punishment, because the closer the pasuk says, "Al rod for becherev ochiv b'shiches rachamot." He was ready if he pursued with the sword his brother, and he destroyed his rachamim. So the destroying of the rachamim is considered a worse aveira. In other words, there's more rachamim naturally for a closer relative. And if you do this to a closer relative, you're destroying that rachamim. And therefore, it's a worse aveira when you do it to someone close than someone further away. I assume he's going to fioris. I don't know. I don't know what he says here, but certainly a person does it to himself. Odom korvets latzmai. He's the closest relative to himself. And the mela, it's even a more serious thing because of the fact that you couldn't have rachmanas on yourself. Mela, you don't have rachmanas on somebody else, but you couldn't have rachmanas on yourself. That's already terrible, worse than terrible. V'chein, mi shehemis es atzmo, yon shel gula. I'm sorry, he says it here. V'chein, mi shehemis es atzmo, one who kills himself, it's certainly his punishment is even greater. So let's go step by step. He says, this is comparable to the following. Because it's compared to a servant, an Eved, who is commanded by his master to watch a certain place for a certain amount of time. I want you to watch this thing for 2 hours. Until the master sends an appropriate shliach, don't you leave this watchman post, this guard post that I give you. And he sees the shliach is not coming. He is delayed. Nifrad min ha-mokim kedem boy. He separates himself from the place. He leaves the guard post before he was supposed to. V'kotzav olam adoinov. And his master got angry at him. V'han nisho enish godel. Punish him, a terrible punishment. V'chein ha-memes is atzmo. Yoytze me'abdus ve'lekim el hamrusoy. V'kotzav v'sakonas ha-movis. He is leaving. The person who kills himself is going out from Avodas Elokim, from being the servant of Hashem. Hashem told him to take care of himself, El Hamrusa, to one who is rebelling. Be consul the Sakonas Movis. By putting yourself in Sakonas Movis, what you're doing is you're defying the master. The master told you, watch this life. I gave you this life, watch it. Just like the master says to the Eved, watch this place and don't leave it until I send the next watchman, the next shift. And you went, you leave it. You're rebelling against me. So same thing, I gave you your life and I gave you the obligation to watch you. You have to watch your lives. And you don't do it, you're rebelling against me. So that is something, you put yourself into a sakonas movis. It's like the ultimate rebellion to Hashem. Now that's a very interesting philosophy of suicide, and maybe similar things too. Hashem gave you something, gave you life. So he put you in charge of watching it. What does he need this for? Why does he need this for? What do you mean? If he said it's like Lysirzach, he said it's like killing someone. So I killed someone. That's a terrible crime. I'm killing myself. So he said before, it's all from Hashem, but you chose to be the murderer. So I chose to be the murderer of myself. I chose to be the murderer of someone else. What's the difference? Why does he need this funny moshul that Hashem gave you this body and he told you to watch it? And now you're rebelling against him by killing it. That's a oynish chomor. So I think the pshat must be on suicide. When a person is hurting himself, there's a shtickle rationalization. It's my life. I can do what I want with my life. You gave it to me, that's true. You gave it to me, now it's mine. I own it. And I decide I had enough of it, so I'm throwing it away. Do me something. So the Chavis HaLubavitch says no. He says this beautiful marshal. He says, he didn't just give you life. He gave you this gift. It's a chelek elokami mal. There's a part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself inside you. And he gave you this gift. And he told you, I'm giving you this gift on the condition that you take care of it. Now, when you destroy it, it's the greatest rebellion. It's I gave you a mission. This is and this is your key mission. This is, you have many other missions, but this is it. I gave you the mission of protecting and guarding and assuring your continuity of life, and you kill it. That's the ultimate rebellion against Hashem. So the philosophy of putting oneself in sakona or of suicide is not just because you're being negligent. And the truth of the matter is, you can say, well, listen, in reality, if it's supposed to happen, I mean, it goes even deeper. Because if it's supposed to happen, the whole thesis here is, if it's supposed to happen, it's going to happen. So I'm only the one who chose to do it. And that's not right. But if it's supposed to happen anyway, and I chose to do it to myself, what do you want for my life? It's going to happen anyway. So I'm not really doing anything. I'm choosing to do it. L'chaira, I can't choose to hurt you. But why can't I choose to hurt me? That should be a fair choice. Of course, I can't hurt myself, but I could choose to do whatever it is. So why is it such a taina? So a taina is because you were given not just the life. You were given the mission of protecting it. You were given the mission of watching it. You're given the mission of taking care of it. And when you don't do that, you defy the mission of Hashem. You defy your master in terms of the job that he gave you. In other words, I guess the taking of the life is not such a terrible thing. I'm just keep on going, excuse me, around and around, but it gets deeper. The taking of the life is not such a terrible thing because that's Gzeiras Kel Elyon. That was supposed to happen. What kind of a taina can have on me if I did it, I did something that was supposed to happen anyway? Yeah, you're right. But you know something? You were supposed to prevent it from happening. It was going to happen. But you had a job. Your job was prevention. And you didn't do that. You directly rebelled against Hashem. And that's the terrible avla there. And I assume that applies just as well, if not more. Well, I don't know about more, but when in hurting someone else, because you were given a responsibility to take care of that person, not to hurt somebody else. And you do it, so you're going against your action is defying my wishes. The result had to happen anyway, because the result wouldn't happen unless it was supposed to happen. But your action is a defiance of my wishes, and that's why it's such a serious avera. Okay,
let's. How does that tie into what we're our topic?
Well, I think the point is like this. The point is that everything is from Hashem. So don't worry. Notice he's saying, don't let your ishtadlus fool you that the ishtadlus is doing it. It's all Hashem. So on the flip side, you say, well, everything is all Hashem. So maybe I have a right to do things because it can't happen unless, if you tell me that there's nothing I could do, so how can you tell me that what I do is wrong? You're telling me I don't have to do anything. Now, so, but yet you say, I'm not allowed to murder. I'm not allowed to commit suicide. Well, why not? If the person's supposed to die, he'll die. And if he's not supposed to die, he won't die. So what do you want from my life? The Teretz is because I gave you the job to protect. Now, if he goes, if you're successful in your murder or in your suicide, it was supposed to be. But the Ika thing is, I told you to do everything to protect that life. And by shooting or by jumping, you didn't protect it. So you rebelled against this tafkid that I gave you. And must admit, protecting of a life is a very chosh of a tafkid. You know, pikuach nefesh is doicha kol haTorah kula. It's not like I had a little mitzvah to do a little something and I didn't do it. This, I gave you a massive responsibility. I gave the rest responsibility of life and death. Protect this life, whether it's yours or whether it's someone else's. And you violated that mission, that most important of missions? That's a crime. That's the crime of Ritzicha. That's the crime of even Ritzicha that person does to himself. Okay, let's try to move on a little bit. Balkein, Atomaisi Shmuel, all of Asholom, Oimer, Eich Eilech Veshom Asholom Orogeni. Yeah. Shmuel said, how can I go? And Shaul will hear what I have to say, and he's going to kill me. So he says, well, what are you worried about? It's not this statement. It's a very bad statement. How could Shmuel HaNavi make such a statement? How could I go Shoma Shol here that I'm coming there? He's going to kill me because I'm coming to whatever this. I'm not sure this is probably referring to probably when he went with Amalek with Agag. It's not considered. We don't find that there was a tefillah on Shmuel that he was lacking bitachon. Where's your bitachon? You're afraid to go to Shul because he's going to kill you. Nobody can kill you, right? Everything is b'gzeiras gelelion. What are you afraid? What there's nothing to be afraid of. So Hashem said to him, he didn't say to him, oh, how dare you say such a thing? Where's your bitachon, Shmuel? What's the matter with you? No, he said to him like this. Hashem's tshuva was, which was teaching him how he should be zoris bazen, and his reasons to go will be mishubach, very praiseworthy. And he says to him, take eglas bokor biyodecho v'omarto, and tell him, I came to do this. I came to do a korban to Hashem. V'sharo inyan, it says further there. V'ilu hoyezek kitzu b'vitchinoi. Yeah. If this was a lack of Shmuel's bitochen, then instead of telling him take these animals and for korbanos, he should have said to him hoyisat shuba elov ani omes v'achayim ochasim ani erpo. Says I kill and I bring alive. I snuff out and I heal. So. That's what he should have said to him. Oh, have doimel or something similar to that. The Torah says it wasn't a chesor. Why? Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, and when Moshe said ki kvad peo kvad loshen onoichi, so Hashem answered him as if it was a lack of bitochen. Mi sam pele odom, mi yosum ile, oy cheresh, oy pikech, oy iver. He says, who makes a person? Who gives a person a mouth? Or who gives him the inability to speak, or the inability to hear, or to see, or so forth? So when Moshe Rabbeinu said, "I'm not capable," kikvad peh, Hashem gave him a reprimand on that. That was wrong, but he didn't say anything to Shaul. To Shaul, he didn't say that's wrong. He said, "Take the korbanos and go." Im Shmuel im toim tzidkoson lo yekel ikunis besibok tanim besibok tzasakona. Im Shmuel, with his endless tomes, perfected tzidkut, his righteousness, wasn't allowing him to be makel himself to go into a siba ktana that could be any element of sakona, even though Shmuel was so righteous and he was so baal bitochen and he was such a great person, and yet he wouldn't take a chance. He said, "No, how could I go over there?" And so afal pishoyin nichnas bo b'mitzvah sabir, and even Hashem told him to do it. Fill up your wagon with oil and go to El Yishai, go to Dovid, and so forth. Certainly, to someone else, this would be something inappropriate, without Hashem telling him to do it. So, in other words, really, we see from here, Hashem told him to do it, so of course he was supposed to do it. But otherwise, if he's doing it on his own, he's walking into a mokum sakona. I am a big tzaddik. I'm so worthy, and it's a, wow, it's such a terrible chashash. Maybe it's a chashash. Maybe he'll kill me. Shaul was sometimes yes, sometimes no. You know, who knows? But no, that if Hashem hadn't told him, that would have been a chesaron. But lemaisa, so we see that. That a person is obligated to protect himself and saying I'm hesitating to go even though I'm such a tzaddik, but you're responsible to take care of yourself. You were given your life, you were given your body, you were given your health, you were given everything about your existence as a pikodin to watch. And you have to take care of it. You know, that was the lotion I think that Bruria used when they had a child, Rav Meir, that died. So she I think she told him, the way she broke it to him was she said, you know, if somebody gave you a pikodin and to watch and to take care of. And then he calls and says, now the time is to give it back. Would you be upset? No, that's it. He gave me the pikkudim, and now it's time to give it back. That's the attitude that we have to have. Our life, our body, our possessions, everything that we have is a pikkudim, a pikkudim from Hashem. A pikkudim means something that was given to us to watch, to take care of. And we have to take care of it. And despite the fact that I know that I can't do anything to harm it anyway, so therefore I would say I could be negligent, I could do anything, I could jump off the roof, I could jump off the bridge if Hashem wants me to be there, to live, I'll live it, if not, not. That's very nice, except one thing. He gave you the pikkudim al menas, that you take care of it. That's the responsibility that we have. If you don't take care of it, you're violating a tremendous violation, because even though the results would happen anyway, you had the obligation to take care of this precious life, and you didn't do it. That's a very, very serious infraction. Okay, that's one possibility. One possibility is this whole long-winded possibility that if a person puts himself in sakona, one possibility is actually die, because he'll be chayev misa for being so rebellious, he calls it. It's very interesting. It's rebelliousness against Hashem, because Hashem gave you this responsibility to watch, and you refuse to observe it, even though I can't really claim that you did it, because everything is from Hashem. Or he says there's another possibility. Page 131. Or maybe instead of dying, you'll be saved. You jump off the bridge, and you'll be saved. The miracle will happen. But then, and then you're going to lose your merit, and you're going to lose your reward. Like Chazal said, the Gemara said that what? Listen to this. This is very beautiful and very important. I don't know if we have enough time to finish it. It says like this. What's going to happen if you jump, or if you do something like that inappropriate? The other possibility is you'll be saved. But when you'll be saved, it's expensive, because a miracle is going to cost you your merit, your schus. Everybody has a merit account, I guess, for this world. And you don't want to detract. You don't want to draw from your, not just life savings, from your eternal life savings. And that's what's going to happen. It says, you could lose your schus and lose your reward. But then he says, very profound, this is such an important statement, because he quotes the Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Beis, don't put yourself in a mokum sakona, in a place of danger. Why? Hashem will do a miracle. It is a sakona. There's great danger over here, but I'm relying on Hashem to do a miracle. Shema ein oisad loines, maybe you won't have a nes. It's one possibility. V'im oisad loines, menakel loim ischu yoisov. If a miracle happens, Hashem deducts from his merit. In other words, you lose some of your schusim that's in your schus account, and Hashem doesn't want that. And that's what Omer Yaakov Avinu. Let's just finish this paragraph. Yaakov said, "I'm too small for all the chasodim, for my hamatargim ze'ire zechuvosi." Mikol chastan or mikol tovon, my schusim are too small, because I don't have enough schusim, because schusim are used up when chesed happens, when miracles happens, and then schusim are used up. So I'm sorry, somebody wanted to say something?
It was just answered.
Oh, okay. So I just want to point out something else. I will have to stop here with the text, but I want to point out something else I think is very important. One of the things that we know is that we're supposed to do ishtadlus. Even though we have bitochen, we're supposed to do ishtadlus. And the Chavis HaLevavitch Shita is, he's talking for most of us, for the common people, not for the super Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's that don't have to do ishtadlus. And he says that we have to do ishtadlus even though we have bitochen. Why do we do ishtablus? So one of the reasons for ishtablus, Rabbi Yisrael Salanta brings, is because we shouldn't rely on miracles. We want to do ishtablus. When you do ishtablus, you make it possible in natural means that could happen. If you sit at home and you never go to work, then you're relying on a nest to have parnosa. If you go to work, okay, you may not have parnosa, but at least you're doing something that it doesn't have to be a nest for you to have parnosa, because people go to work or people even business and they make money. So, but why does the halacha, why does Hashem not want us to rely on miracles? Here, the Chavis Alavovas, the Gemara that he brings, reveals the secret, because it's menakin lo mischuyosof, because it takes away from yischuyos. Hashem doesn't want us to deplete our eternal business account, our eternal schusim account. The keren tayevus lelam habo. Hashem wants us to have all the hatova that we can have. And if he has to do a miracle in this world, to be worthy of a miracle, in other words, everything has a price. Everything has a price. The price is we're going to withdraw from your keren tayevus lelam habo, your permanent account over there, a couple of shekels, who knows how many, and going to say, oh, you have a miracle in this world, you put yourself in the mokas corner and get a miracle in this world, that's going to cost you. And Hashem doesn't want it to cost us. So he says, live up b'derech hateva. Don't force me into miracles, even with your bitochen. Do ishtadlus, unless you have the super bitochen, where I guess super, the ultimate bitochen doesn't cost anything. That's a freebie. If you reach the highest level, like Umshuva by Yochoi, to be Dovuk Bashem, that it's Le'ela, Le'ela, maybe that doesn't cost. So there you're allowed not to do Ishtablus. But otherwise, it says, do Ishtablus, because Ain't Soymach Nalanes, I don't want you to rely on a miracle. Because when you rely on a miracle, Menakelum Shchiyosav, and therefore your account of Schusim, which is the eternal account, which is what I want you to have, and I don't want you to get anything in this world, take away from it, says, therefore I say, don't rely on miracles, so I shouldn't have to do a miracle. In other words, relying on miracles means, by the way, if you have no choice, you can rely on miracles. Relying on miracles means I put myself in the danger. If a person is in a matzav, it's not of his own making, then of course he relies on miracles. There's no tevatik way that I can get out of that, relying on Hashem to do a miracle. But lechatchila, to go rely on that, when you put yourself in that situation, that you're not supposed to do. Why? Because it will detract from your ultimate schusim, and Hashem does not want to do that. Now think about that. That's very, very interesting. That means that Hashem wants us to have every possible schus, and he doesn't want to have to detract from that in any way. Of course, he conducts the world with mishpot. And since there's justice in this world, there's mishpot, there's deserving, there's earnings. So to earn a miracle, it's going to cost you from your savings. Hashem doesn't want you to spend. You know, it's much like, I know as a parent, I've had this too. You know, when the kid comes to you and says, I want something, but right now, you know, I'm not really up to giving it to you, or down to giving it to you, they say today. We used to be up to things. Now they're down to things. I don't know what that means. But anyway, they're going in the wrong direction. But that's besides the point. Anyway, so I'm not really down to give it to you. So I say, okay, Dad, you know, I'm going to take it out of my savings. Oh, no, I'll take care of it. We don't want our children to use their savings. We want them to save it for when they get married, to save it for a new house, to save it for a rainy day, to save it for who knows what, you know. So Mamela, Hashem is the same way. I don't want you to use your savings. And not only that, the savings in this world are in the next world are so far beyond the currency in the next world is worth so much more. I guess like comparing, I hope there's no Canadians here. Canadian, every time we get a donation from Canada, it takes off who knows how much percent of the check comes back. A third, I don't know, it depends on whenever. But you got a third, what do you mean? A guy gave us $50,000, it came back $36,000 or $38,000. I don't know exactly what it was, you know, a few weeks ago. So this is not, you know, so Shem was, I want you, if you're going to use your savings, I beg you, don't rely on miracles. Don't force me to do miracles for you. Don't force me to withdraw from your savings account. That's, I think, the way that we're supposed to look at this.